Your child avoids reading and is a terrible speller. You wonder, could she be dyslexic? And if so, what does that really mean for her and how can you help? Today, we want to help you better understand your dyslexic learner. We're going to give you some practical tips for supporting your dyslexic student right now as you navigate distance learning and homework. And we'll talk to you about why you or your child don't have to continue to be dyslexic. This is LD Expert Live. Many successful actors, sports stars, and entrepreneurs are dyslexic. And when you hear them talk about it, they often say things like, I wouldn't change a thing. I learned persistence from my dyslexia and how to think outside the box. As a parent, this should be very encouraging to you. But what I also notice when I hear interviews with these same people is that when they talk about their school years, every one of them gets very emotional, even teary, when they remember the pain. It doesn't have to be this way. The painful reading and writing challenges related to dyslexia can be changed while retaining the brilliance and talents that often go along with it. Welcome to LD Expert Live, your place for answers and solutions for learning differences, dyslexia, and attention challenges. I'm your host, Jill Stowell, founder of Stowell Learning Centers, and author of At Wit's End, A Parent's Guide to Ending the Struggle, Tears, and Turmoil of Learning Disabilities. This book will help you understand why some bright children and teens struggle in school and what can be done to change that permanently. To get a free copy, go to parents@witsend.com. Today, I have two wonderful Stowell Learning Center team members joining me for our discussion about dyslexia. Lauren Ma, our Director of Clinical Growth and Operations, and Maddie Lino, our moderator and clinician and team leader at Stowell Learning Center in Irvine, California. Hello, Maddie and Lauren.
Hello. Hi, everyone. I'm super excited for the show today. It's our Facebook support group, Mom Squad, so you can always check that out if you want questions answered after the show.
Yes, and I'm loving our Mom Squad community that we're building, slowly building and adding new members. Dads can join too. We have some veteran parents in there who can offer great advice to parents just starting out in the process of learning how to get help for their child and learn more about their child's struggles. So come join us, be a part of that community. And we have an exciting show today. Jill and I love talking about dyslexia, so we want you to have the opportunity to be a part of that discussion. So start posting, let us know where you're from, and we'll check back in with Maddie in a bit.
This is LD Expert Live. I'm your host, Jill Stowell, and I am here with Lauren Ma. And today we are talking about dyslexia. Dyslexia means difficulty with words. It is a language-based learning challenge that affects decoding, reading fluency, and spelling, and sometimes oral language fluency and sequencing. It's often hereditary, and it appears to have a neurological base. Brain studies show that there actually are differences in how and where information is processed in the dyslexic brain. If you're interested in learning more about that, check out the LD Expert Live broadcast that we did on October 6th with Dr. Joan Smith called Correcting Dyslexia and the Research Behind It. Dr. Smith does a beautiful job of explaining the brain research with dyslexia. Dyslexia is a fascinating thinking style. While each person with dyslexia is different, our dyslexic students often have strong, creative, visual, spatial, 3D kind of thinking abilities. Your child may be amazing with Legos, mechanical abilities, drawing, or out-of-the-box problem solving.
So this is one of my favorite things about the dyslexic thinking style. Love this. They have such a talent for three-dimensional thinking and seeing possibilities where others do not. And it really reminds me of one of my favorite students of all time, EJ. When he came to us, he was really struggling academically and having a lot of anxiety about anything to do with text. He was so confused about print and anything on a page, but he could build these amazing projects. So he built a car. He built a car and he brought it to the center and he was able to ride in it. And it was just amazing. It was awesome. He Wow. built a boat with his grandfather. He now uses a 3D printer. He got a 3D printer and now he can build anything he can imagine. And he comes up with it all in his head. And just an amazing talent for this boy. And it was so frustrating and so perplexing to his parents, because as parents and sometimes even teachers can see that these kids have, you know, creativity and talent in some areas, but have extreme difficulty with reading, writing, spelling. And so when EJ's parents came to us, they knew they had a smart boy on their hands. He just couldn't access that potential. So it is absolutely frustrating to see that contrast.
It is. You know, when students apply that three-dimensional thinking style where they can see things from all different angles, when they apply that to print, which is a two-dimensional medium, they can get all different images of words and letters. So B could be D or P or Q. Saw could be was. It causes a great deal of confusion with letter symbols, and it makes it difficult then to remember how words really look for reading and spelling. This confusion can cause students to experience disorientation when they look at the page.
And so a lot of times we often think of dyslexia as only a visual challenge affecting it, but there's also an auditory aspect to dyslexia. In addition to the symbol confusion and visual disorientation, most dyslexic students also struggle with phonological awareness. And so that's the ability to think about sounds and the parts of words. So for example, if I ask you to give me the sounds in the word cat, you can think about it and mentally break it up into three sounds. K-at, okay? Or if I tell you to drop the first sound in the word cat, at, okay? Or drop the last sound, cat. You can manipulate, you can break apart those sounds because you can think about the sounds in words. And so this is an essential skill for decoding, which is a reading skill, and spelling. You have to be able to think about the sounds in words in order to spell. And what makes it so hard for some dyslexic thinking style is that they have a hard time thinking about the parts as opposed to the whole. We had another student, Andy, and we got him as a little kindergartner, and he was already struggling with just the basics of reading and writing. And if you watch him try to do those activities, trying to process or manipulate the sounds and words, you could see why. It was painful. If we asked him, give us the sounds in the word cat, he would go like this. Cat. 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 Ta. 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 I don't know. And no wonder he was having difficulty already in kindergarten trying to decode simple words like his peers were starting to do in kindergarten, because he couldn't think about the parts in the words. So in spite of this auditory challenge, we find that many dyslexic students are actually very verbal and have great comprehension because they have a talent for global thinking. So this is what's incredible about this dyslexic thinking style, thinking about the whole. This is a resilient compensating skill that helps dyslexic readers to guess at words when they read based on their strong ability to get a global meaning. This is why many students we see with dyslexia may not have been identified as having reading struggles early on. They manage to get by.
They really do. And it makes you realize how much mental energy they're using to compensate all the time. This is LD Expert Live. I'm your host, Jill Stoll, and we've been talking with Lauren Ma about the characteristics of dyslexia. To recap a little bit, we find that in general, our dyslexic thinkers of any age tend to be bright and creative. Dyslexia has both visual and auditory components in varying degrees of severity. So here are some specific symptoms that are often seen in dyslexic readers. Now, you might not see every single one of these symptoms in your dyslexic child, but a combination. So many times they are stuck having to sound out every single word sound by sound. They tend to add, omit, shift, repeat, or substitute sounds in words when reading. They may know the phonetic rules, like the silent E at the end of the word, but then they can't apply it. So they can tell it to you, but they can't recognize it or apply it when spelling. They may confuse visually similar words, such as quietly and quickly, because they look a lot alike and they're not processing all of the sounds inside of the words. They may read very fast, slurring or mumbling through the words that they don't know. And so you're kind of thinking, okay, did they read that right or not? They may sound like they're reading well, but they're not really reading the words on the page. They're making up their own context or filling in the gaps with what makes sense to them. They may repeat words and phrases and sentences often to make it sound right or to catch the meaning. They tend to add, change, move, or omit small common sight words such as the and of and if. They hate to read orally and show avoidance behaviors when they have to, like crying or talking or acting out, getting a stomach ache. They may recognize difficult content words such as elephant, but miss easy words. And often they have very good comprehension if they're read to or if the information is presented orally. This is LD Expert Live. I'm Jill Stoll, and today we're talking about dyslexia with Lauren Ma, the Director of Clinical Growth and Operations for Stoll Learning Centers. At Stoll Learning Centers, we have never been about giving students workarounds or accommodations. We want to identify and address the root of the problem so that students can go on to be the comfortable, independent learners that they have the potential to be. Lauren, let's talk a little bit about the learning skills continuum, in particular in relation to dyslexia.
Sure. So at the Stoll Learning Centers, we look at learning skills on a continuum. So you may have seen our continuum. If not, get with the program. Here it is. The continuum is kind of like a ladder. Lower level skills or rungs support higher level skills. At the top of the continuum in the orange are school skills. So basic reading, writing, spelling, and math. And at the very top are higher level content skills like earth science, algebra, subjects that you get into like fourth grade and above. So often parents or even teachers call us because a student is struggling at the top of the continuum with reading or maybe a higher level class that involves math or critical thinking. But those struggles are often symptoms of lower level skill weaknesses on the continuum, the green, the blue, and the purple levels. The problem is that it's assumed when children go to school that those underlying skills are in place and that all the student has to do is learn the content. And that's what schools and tutoring does. I mean, they teach the content, but they're not equipped to deal with the underlying problem. That's what we do. So let's look at these skills more in depth as they relate to dyslexia, especially the green and the blue rungs, to see how they relate to the symptoms we see with dyslexia. So the first skill I want to look at is core learning skills, that green level. It's at the very bottom of the continuum. These skills are lower in the brain. They support awareness, attention, movement. This is where we start to develop spatial orientation, knowing where I am in space, understanding the difference between my right and my left, sequencing, the beginning of visual development. So being able to discriminate between letters, being able to copy from the board, which is far away, to copying close up in my notebook, tracking across the page for reading, and handwriting. Handwriting is a motor skill also at this core level. So when we see a student that makes reversals in writing, we know that there are issues at the core learning level. So that's core learning skills kind of in a nutshell as it relates to dyslexia. A little bit higher in the brain is processing skills. So processing skills is that blue level right above core learning skills. These are the skills that you use to take in information, process that information, and produce an output. These skills can be impacted with dyslexia are memory, especially for what we talked about earlier, the parts versus the whole, like remembering the exact letters that spell a sight word, attention, paying attention to the order of the letters in a word, auditory processing, which is where phonological awareness is housed, being able to process the information you hear, visual processing, which is where that visual disorientation can occur, and then processing speed, which can impact fluency, both in speech, getting your words out, and reading, okay? So kind of in a nutshell, those are the two areas that we often see impacted when a student comes to us and we suspect that dyslexia may be a factor. And we see students all the time that don't have diagnoses. And that's what we're trying to figure out. Just because a student has a diagnosis doesn't mean that the impacted skills are the same. Each student has a different combination of strengths and weaknesses. There are actually 7 different types of dyslexia, and each different type is a unique combination of weak underlying skills. That is why we always do an assessment with every student. We're not trying to diagnose. We're not trying to just get a label. We're really trying to identify the underlying skills that are impacted so that we can develop them. And that's really how you correct the problem at its source. One of my favorite examples, I'm going to go back to one of my favorite students. I'm not supposed to say that, but I love him, EJ, whom I spoke of earlier. He was a complete non-reader when he came to us. Absolutely had a lot of intervention early on, a lot of different therapies, and he was getting support in school, but it just wasn't working. And he came to us, and was it an easy process? No, but he worked and his family was dedicated. And today, this kid is completely independent at a private, rigorous school that's very academically based. He's doing it. That was a lot of potential in that boy that he couldn't access without targeted training.
And I understand that now EJ is helping his sister with her schoolwork and even doing home practice with her for her processing skills training.
Yes.
Pretty cool. And what we're talking about isn't just for children. I remember a mom who was so inspired by the changes that her 9-year-old daughter made with reading and writing that she came and got help for herself so that she could go back to college, which she did. And she was so excited because she got her very first A ever, and it was in her college English class. If you have a dyslexic student, chances are that you have had to provide them a great deal of support at home. Now, with so much distance learning, you're probably having to help your kids even more. So we're going to give you some accommodations and coaching techniques that you can use to help your students manage in school. Accommodations are not what you want long term, because most dyslexic students have the potential to be strong, independent learners. But until the challenges are corrected, you need some strategies. I'm going to go through 7 of them pretty rapidly here, but I have a download for you of accommodations and strategies that you can use to support your child or teen with dyslexia or reading challenges. Go to stowellcenter.com/dyslexia. So here we go. Number 1, before starting a reading or writing assignment, have your child do cross crawls. So cross crawls, what they're going to do is stand up. They're going to cross their elbow to their opposite knee. So they're really crossing across the midline of their body. So have them do that for 30 seconds or a minute. This is a really integrating exercise because they're crossing the midline. It's getting both sides of the brain activated, which of course makes learning easier. So that's a great thing to do before they start any assignment, reading or writing assignment. And also if you see that they're starting to make a lot of mistakes or seem disoriented, get frustrated, stop and do some more cross crawls. When our students finish doing their cross crawls, we always have them think about or look at an X, which is an integrated symbol. So again, it's activating both sides of the brain, and take some nice slow breaths. So they look at an X or think about an X and take some nice slow breaths. And that kind of anchors that focused, integrated, ready feeling. And then when your child is reading and you see, oh, they're starting to get a little stressed, have them stop for a second, take a breath, think about that X, and that might just help them, you know, get back focused and ready. If not, stand up and do some more cross crawls. Number two, neurological impress reading. This is a great technique. It's a very old technique, but it's a really good one. And I would encourage you to do this with your struggling reader 10 minutes a day. So, and it can be in anything, in their schoolwork, in a fun reading book, reading directions. So here's what's going to happen. Your child is going to point under the word and you're going to point above the word and you're going to read slowly together. And you're pointing under each word, but you're still reading fluently. So you still want to use good expression. When you get to punctuation, both of you are going to tap twice. A lot of times our dyslexic students don't notice punctuation, and punctuation actually helps with reading and comprehension. So you definitely want to notice the punctuation. So they're going to tap there. It helps them regroup and think about what they were reading. So once your child gets really good at this technique, and remember, you're the guide, you're going to make it the reading a little bit slower than normal, and they have to stick with you. Once they get really good at it, they can start to do it on their own. And I see even our high school students sometimes do this when they're reading something difficult or when they are reading directions on a test. I'll see them start to use their impress reading. And what they're doing is they're pointing under each word, tapping at punctuation, but they're reading it silently to themselves. And then when they get to the punctuation, you want to start to help them learn how to visualize what they've read up to that point. So they read a little phrase, make sure they have an image. Read a little bit more, make sure they've added onto their image. So it helps them to think about what they're reading. And this technique takes the pressure off of your student because you are the guide. And if they don't know the word, you're going to say it, and then they'll just repeat it after you. The great thing about that technique is they are seeing it, saying it, pointing to it, and hearing it, and it's accurate. So it's impressing an accurate image of that word on their brain. Number three, easy books aren't necessarily the best. So if you're choosing a book together with your child and you know that they struggle with reading, don't automatically assume that you have to go to a really super simple book. Those really simple books are filled with what we call trigger words, those little non-conceptual sight words, the, of, if, words that your child knows in isolation, but in text can trigger disorientation because they're hard to picture. So they may do better with a book that is of interest, higher interest to them. They have a knowledge of the subject and more meaningful context because it allows that dyslexic reader to use his good comprehension skills to support his reading. Number four, share the reading. This takes the pressure off and it increases their comprehension and interest. So if your child has to read a chapter, have him start reading and just say, you read, and when you get tired, I'll take over and I'll read until I get tired. And then you pick it back up. So your student might read one or two lines and then they stop. That's okay. Then you pick it up and you read. Read a fair amount because that's going to, again, support them with the comprehension. and then stop and let them read some more. So it's not doing the whole job for them, but it's helping them to get through it more quickly. They can comprehend it better. They're seeing it and hearing it correctly, and they're still having to be responsible for part of it and know that they can do it. If they, as they're reading, if they miss words or don't know words, have them spell them and then read them. So spell it out loud, not sound it out, but just spell it. Because a lot of times what happens is the student is not really looking at all the letters in the word. And if they spell it, a lot of times they know what the word is. Number five, there are organizations that have recorded books. And so you could get your students' textbooks recorded so that they can listen to them while they're reading. In the handout, I've put a few of these organizations, and we'll try to put that in the chat too. Learning Ally and Bookshare are good ones to take a look at. Number six, depending on the level of your students' reading, adjustments may need to be made on content area tests. They should be allowed to take content area tests orally and or have them read to them or have extra time. Their knowledge of content shouldn't be hampered by poor or slow reading. And number seven, if your child gets stuck on spelling with writing, if they're always saying, "Mom, how do you spell?" Have them say each sound as they write it. That will help them to think about the sounds and help them to spell. And then for common sight words that you're pretty sure your child actually does know, words like could, they don't really follow the rules, but your child's seen that word a lot. You're pretty sure they know it. Have them look up and spell it fast. If they try to sound out a word like that, they're going to spell it C-U-D. But if you say, look up and spell it fast, they'll look up, C-O-U-L-D. It's there. It's in their visual memory. And by looking up and by talking fast, it triggers the visual modality. Remember, you can download these strategies and more by going to stowellcenter.com/dyslexia. These tools are to help your student right now, but just remember, they're not really going to get to the root of the issue. Correcting dyslexia is not a quick fix. It takes identifying what the challenges look like for each individual and doing intensive and targeted retraining of the underlying skills that are not supporting the learner well enough. This isn't going to happen in typical school programs or traditional tutoring, but it is possible. It is scientifically and clinically supported, and it changes the lives of children and adults every day. Lauren, I remember you had a sixth grader at your center who was incredibly creative and literally couldn't read a thing. Can you tell us about her process in correcting dyslexia?
Yes, Allie. Allie came to us when she was in sixth grade, completely defeated because of her constant struggles in school. She not only had difficulty with reading and any content subjects that involved a lot of reading, but also with math because she just got so confused with the symbols. And so we worked with her intensively to strengthen her underlying skills at the core learning skills level and processing skills level. And she made dramatic changes. I mean, not only did her reading improve, but her math improved as well. And we never worked on math. She just finally could make sense of the symbols. And the amazing part, and you know, the thing that why she's so memorable to me is that every single adult in that child's life noticed a change in her confidence and her demeanor. Her parents, her teachers, her grandparents, people that never knew that she was coming to us and working to remediate her dyslexia were like, you know, would see her a couple months later, be like, what did you do? She looks so much more confident and happy. She walked differently. She held her head up high. it wasn't an easy process. It took some time. It took some dedication, but that girl's life is changed forever. And that is why I love my job so much. I mean, I have dozens and dozens of stories like that. It's just amazing the changes that you can see in these kids that had all this potential and finally got the help that they needed.
You know, the myth about dyslexia is that if you're dyslexic, you'll always be dyslexic. And that simply is not true. The brain research and decades of clinical research and experience show that the brain can be retrained to process information more effectively. Disorientation and symbol confusion can be controlled and eliminated. Difficulty with sounds in words that keep people from learning and using phonics for reading and spelling can be developed. And the brain can learn to sequence sounds and words.
That's right, Jill. And this is what we see happen every day, over and over again. Retraining the brain, or literally creating new and more efficient neural pathways, can eliminate the dyslexic challenges that keep kids and adults from performing to their potential in reading, writing, spelling, and sometimes even speaking. We see changes in oral fluency when we work on symptoms of dyslexia. So in correcting the learning challenges, we don't want to take away that amazing thinking style, that thinking style that makes EJ who he is and what we all love about him. We simply want to add more effective and efficient ways of thinking and dealing with words so that they're not plagued with the struggle.
Well, Lauren, it has been so much fun talking about dyslexia with you. This is LD Expert Live, your place for answers and solutions for learning disabilities, dyslexia, and attention challenges. Stowell Learning Centers are open for remote sessions and screenings, so you can access our services wherever you are in the world. We are also seeing students on site with all of the COVID precautions. We work with children and adults doing targeted brain training and academic remediation to help them permanently change their learning and attention challenges, including dyslexia, so that they can reach their untapped potential and become comfortable, independent learners. If you would like a free consultation for yourself or your child, give us a call or visit our website at stowellcenter.com.